You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Welcome back. Hour number three, John Forcade, the chef. Scotty.
Right. Do y'all realize in 2 weeks, General D's still hanging out with us here on this beautiful Thursday as the sunshine is indeed back after yesterday? How'd y'all do with all that rain and weather? Everything y'all good?
I went to three pairs of shoes just to get out of my car and go to the doctor's. Three pairs.
I had to go pick up employees.
Out of the front door, I got to my Jeep. A foot and a half of water. I get in the gym. I can't go to the doctor's office. I called Tanya. I said, bring me some shoes. She's like, what? I said, just come out with some shoes.
Yeah.
But as she walks outside, I said, stop. She's why. I said, take your shoes and your boots off. Pull your pants. Because she has to go to the airport. Pull your shoes off. Yeah. Pull your dog pants up. But I need these shoes so I can go to the doctor's office with dry shoes on. And oh, God, it was some bad weather.
I was okay with the weather. It wasn't an issue.
The shop hit it. Got hit.
Where were
your
shrimp boots?
Shrimp boots? I probably left them in my garage.
What was wrong with your shop?
It rained. Water was coming through my front door of my shop. You ever had that happen?
Katie's yesterday. Yeah. It leaks through the windows.
Yep, I got it all through at the bottom.
My building's 140 years old.
800-998-1003 on the Rudiman Can hotline. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in. Tomorrow we will be over at No Wake Outfitters. The invite's there. You just can't get in the demo pool, John. If you want to come hang out tomorrow?
I'm leaving this weekend for a while. Yeah, I got to go off.
Oh, that's right. We're never going to see you again.
I'm going to see you.
That's right. He's going to
next
coach.
Thursday. I'm going to come next Thursday. I got to go to Lake Charles. My nephew is starting arena football.
Nice.
And Lake Charles has a
team.
See
again for the
old voodoo.
His consultant.
Yeah, I'll be back. Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to come back in those
the
days.
Old voodoo's golf? Lake Charles?
Yeah, move to Lake Charles.
Sounds good. General D, as always, we've been talking not only draft in 2 weeks, Zurich Classic of New Orleans is also in 2 weeks. Looking forward to that. We'll be there. You'll be there with the white chocolate pudding. We'll be doing our shows live Thursday and Friday. Looking forward to that as well. Masters is underway, round number one. Who do y'all think is leading?
Yeah, I already checked it. Ain't nobody anybody heard of.
Brian Fox is leading. Brian DeChambeau is 4 under. Fox is 5 under par. Then you have a couple of players that are 2 under, including Scottie Scheffler, who's the favorite. So him being in and around the mix right now is a good thing. He's through 6 at 2 under. Ryan Fox, the leader, 5 under through 12. Phil Mickelson is 1 under through 10. So there's only 4 shots off the lead there as well to kind of keep on looking at. Who's some of the guys that you guys...
Well, Tiger doesn't tee off to 245.
I've got that name
really well. But, you know, it's the first day's not...
The followers even?
The first day's not...
But you don't want to lose it, right? I mean,
you want to lose it in the first
round. Well, you don't want to knock yourself out in the first round, but you want to... You got to wait till it's over before you
got to wait till the weekend to start moving. So.
Yeah, you got to move it on Saturdays.
Zach Johnson's 2 over. Fred Couples 1 over. Sergio Garcia 3 over through 12 for his opening round. Shane Lowry. And as you mentioned, Bubba Watson's yet to tee off. That's 206. He's going to get going there. Tiger Woods, 254. Jason Day, 254 as well. Brooks Koepka, 306. Jordan Spieth, 318. A lot of these times got moved down 2 hours.
Because of the weather.
Because they didn't actually tee off until 10:30.
I need Joachim Niem, Morikawa, Justin Rose, Tom Kim, and Cam Davis. That's my team.
Is that a parlay?
No, that's I'm in a. We do a little draft.
That's really cool. I didn't know you.
It's a lot of fun. It's like 10 of us.
We got a bunch of guys that do it. All right. Country club.
Buddy says this indeed is Jack for sure. Jack, what's up, man? How you doing, buddy?
Jack from Reefer Ridge.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
What's up,
Jack? I got to say one thing. Jack showed up to our game on Monday, our first game, and he watched us get shut out.
That was cool.
We got 15-run rule.
He came to see your coaching, I think.
You got 15-run rule after 3 innings?
Enough.
I will just say this. I text Todd I said, my game plan and what I put on that field makes Pete Carmichael look like Bill Walsh. I was very disappointed with my team. And I got to take responsibility. It's on me. But we do have 20 games left starting this Monday. So we got 20 games to make up for that.
Well, send a schedule so we can at least get a schedule.
I got it today, so I will send it to everybody. We have a practice at 9:30 Saturday morning if anybody wants to come
Carver
out.
Watching Carver wear Cardinal red was incredible.
What's the name of y'all team?
The Mudcats.
Mudcats.
Mudcats. Catfish.
I know.
Yeah.
The Redbirds.
No. Mudcats. We all had to pick minor league baseball teams. Carolina Mudcats is what I went with. So, what's up, Jack? How you got it?
Well, guys, first of all, you only had one practice with those kids. I think you can tell which of those kids their dad plays ball in the backyard with them and which of them don't. You know?
By the way, out of that practice, four kids showed up. out of 12. Out of
right.
Tell them you have a game, and then they'll all show up. and then set practice.
I got a challenge ahead of me, guys.
Yes, you do.
I got a challenge ahead of me.
Better you than me.
No. I did that one. I helped my brother a couple years ago, and it's hard just keeping their attention.
Right.
It's hard enough. But anyway. Look, I had a question for General D. General D, I think that bare minimum for the next few years, the Pelicans should expect to be a top four team. Would you disagree with that?
The way they're constructed right now, no, I disagree. I think they should be, but I don't think they will be unless they make some moves with this roster.
Oh, no. If they're going to stay pat, that's not going to happen. But, I think from here on, we have to be looking to work towards a championship. And look, I'm not going to argue with you that Valanciunas should be playing now because, honestly, Larry's a backup no matter what team he's on, whether he's a forward or a center, he's a backup. Okay? But looking at the way the West is constructed and even teams like Orlando, is Valanciunas the center on a championship team? Because I watched the Orlando guys run past him like he was a turnstile. So, can he play if you – come on.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I thought – and I made this comment public. I said I thought they needed to move him at the break. I said the amount of money we're paying Valanciunas, unless we're going to play a different style of basketball, but what I've been seeing that they want to play is positionless basketball. Thus, that means you need an athletic big that's going to be able to get up and down the court, but you need rim protection. The guy that I wanted them to go after, and, you know, he's turned out to seem like he in a different situation has done well, is Daniel Gafford. I thought he'd be available coming from Washington, and they got him over there with the Mavericks. I mean, this is going to be a very tenuous time for the Pelicans because they have to win tonight, and if they don't, which they're not favored, then you got to play a team that's very hot with Golden State, and if they lose that game against Golden State, they're going to drop, and then everything hinges on the Laker game. You might go into ninth place. And, I mean, I know people don't want to look at that and say, we can be a sixth seed, and I think, you know, trying to stay positive. We win these couple games, you're in the sixth seed, and it's considered a great season or a good season for a good step with this organization. But the fact of the matter is, you're not favored tonight. Golden State's playing a tough, gold is kind of going track, and then you got to play the Lakers. The probability of where you're going to finish is going to be probably in that 8-9. I mean, let's just be realistic. So to make them a playoff team at the four spot moving forward, there's a lot that needs to be changed on this roster.
I'm not going to this negative talk.
No, it's up to the front office.
I agree.
Yeah, nobody's talking about that, Jack. Okay. Nobody's talking about the front office. I'm not a big Griffin fan.
I am.
And he didn't do anything in Cleveland. That was all a LeBron's deal.
Come on,
and
man.
So he's comes
put
down
together
here.
An outstanding team,
okay.
Here, John.
Yeah, he hadn't done anything here in New Orleans yet.
So he didn't get a point guard at the trade.
More than that.
Well, no, he didn't. John,
more than that.
Scott, he didn't move on from Valanciunas or have the roster constructed that you're going to use the five more. I know people in retrospect look at the game and say, oh, well, we should have played more through Valanciunas because he did well here. But it's all about style of play. And if that's where the NBA is going, either you're going to go that way because that seems where Willie wants to go. He wants to play small. He wants to get up and down the court.
Who won the championship last year? Denver.
Denver did.
What do they go through? The big man.
Yeah, but
the big man.
He's a unicorn, just like
I'll say this.
Embiid's a unicorn.
I'll say this. If there's games where I feel the Pels have a problem, I feel they're undersized. Like Orlando, OKC. So
I
Bandero's good.
I would amend what you say in that where the NBA is going. I think you want physical, fast, athletic bigs now as opposed to trying to play small. Because I just think it's too much of a you're giving up too much. You're giving up points. You're giving up rebounds when this team goes small. Currently constructed.
Correct.
Currently constructed.
No, I'm with you on that. Yeah. I'm saying I thought you needed to make a couple of moves, and the guys that were talking about moving.
I think the problem is
you couldn't
though,
make those moves.
Right. So, did they fail to move him, or was there nothing to move him for? You got to have a taker.
I think they wanted to assess the situation right, where they were to see how this season played out.
Because if I'm another team, I know that they're probably not going to retain Jonas. So
everybody's going
to
the fact,
trading for?
Everybody's going to point to the fact that we finished fourth until everything kind of fell apart with injury, right? They're going to say we were kind of right there at fourth place, and look how well we were doing. But then the back end of the roster, I mean, the back end of the schedule was the difficult spot that they had to go through. We all knew that. And they didn't step up, and it had to do with some was health, some with style of play. But at the end of the day, I don't think that this team, as you just said, is good enough when you compare it to all the teams in the West.
I think the other problem is this. Let's be honest. If Brandon Ingram get hurt in the last 10 games, do they lose all those games that they do? I don't know. I mean, they could have.
I don't think they lose all those. I think they would have finished sixth.
They would have won three.
I think they finished sixth.
They may have finished fifth.
But that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I'm saying I think we're in the playoffs with Brandon Ingram with health.
Losing one guy should not devastate this team.
I disagree because
it depends who that guy is.
Yeah. Correct. Brandon Ingram is an integral part of who you are. He's a guy that can get his shot off when things start breaking down. He rises up and has a high release. He gets a shot off mid-range, which we don't have right now.
The main reason why it hurts so much is I didn't realize this until after the injury. Everyone was bringing it up. He's the team leader in assists.
Correct.
And it goes back, I think, to General D's point, though.
Yep.
Do we want moving forward Brandon Ingram to be the assist leader on this team, or do we want him to be a scorer?
No, you don't want him. He's getting assists by default because he's making the right play, and they're all moving the ball. I'm just going to say it. I don't think the way – if we want to move up in the standings next year, C.J. McCollum is a guy that – a lot of people love at this organization. I think you need to do what you did with Drew Holiday. You need to move on from him. You need to go get yourself a point guard that can play in his role and have a different guy. Have a different guy that can be your two. Or you say, no, you're going to play two and that's it. But you better have another guy that's there. The problem is you've got the way your roster's constructed. Trey Murphy's come on to give you that athletic kind of wing player. You're not getting a sit-down Herb Jones. Herb Jones is too good. He's a first-team all-defensive player. And you're not sitting down a Zion or Brandon Ingram. And you really need that athletic big that you don't have right now. So the roster construction has to change. But to what we're all saying is that I think this team is good, but are we good enough to make that elite run? And is it going to happen? If we don't make any changes, it's not going to happen.
Jack, final thoughts. Got about a minute.
Yeah, I just had one other thing. I was looking at ESPN bets right before I called you. The Saints are currently plus 325 to win the South. They are 40-1 to win the NFC, and they are 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. Now, I was thinking that a man who had ultra confidence in the current administration should make an investment. You know, maybe mortgage a restaurant or something. I'm just saying.
We know who you're looking at.
He's on DraftKings as we speak.
Yeah, there he is. He's betting him right now.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate the phone call, man.
All right, Jack.
I'm going to send you the schedule. Got 20 games.
Jack wants a tackle as well.
Why don't you come out and give the kids pizza? Because we're going to lose 15-0 on Monday. Sean Fox next on ESPN New Orleans.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. With Sean Fox, as always, we appreciate it.
Hey, wing at Sean.
Hey, what's up, Sean? How you doing? Oh, I thought we had Sean.
Oh, Sean's a character.
He's on his way, I promise.
He ain't missing this opportunity.
One of the things I wanted to bring up here when we go into the draft, which is 2 weeks, I'm going to ask him how much confidence he has into this or not. I've already told you how I feel. I think this is a building year.
Right.
On the offensive side, seeing what exactly some of the – maybe a transition year on the defense thing. Look, him saying Duke's bringing in a linebacker, wanting him to compete, what spot is that more than likely? Not DeMario Davis.
When you say Werner. It's a building period, man, I don't want to hear that. I hate hearing, because it makes me sound like they're not really going to do anything this year. They want to maybe get everything rolling.
Well, I think you're trying.
You got to try to win the division.
I don't think you're not trying.
Right.
But I do think it's a rebuild. Sean Fox from Sports Talk 97.7. How are you looking at? First off, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us, sir. How are you approaching the draft with your fans and stuff like that? Like in this season with this team, I do think it is a rebuilding, retooling, reshaping, reimaging season. I just do.
It feels like a rebuild built into you still play in the NFC South so you can still win the division. Is that a cop-out going somewhere in the middle? But it kind of what it feels like, because you're going through a transitional period right now, Gus, and then all of a sudden you're like, but we're still in the NFC South. And nobody jumps out to be the winner. You still got stalwarts in place, but you need an inflection of youth and talent. So, yeah, I think there needs to be. I think this is a franchise that is in transition right now. But the benefit of being in that division, you can be in transition and still win it. Like, literally, I think everybody would agree today, everybody but Carolina.
Carolina.
So Atlanta, Tampa, Saints are pretty much on equal footing right now going into next season.
Well, hey, Sean, it's John here. When you say equal
footing,
I think that, you know, Gus made the comment, and it wasn't coming from him. He just worried about the Saints are rebuilding. In the terms of, well, are they rebuilding for down the road, or they just want to put some pieces together? The word rebuilding sounds like, well, we got to go off a year or two and get this offense rolling before we click. They do have the opportunity to win this division if they get the right players, and it's going to happen in 2 weeks. They got to bring some players in, make some good decisions. Right now, I still see them looking up at the Atlanta Falcons. I hate to say it that way, but I think Atlanta did much more this offseason than the Saints did. Maybe the Saints saying, well, we're not going to do anything this offseason. We're going to do it in the draft.
John, Atlanta and Tampa, I think we're third right now.
Well, yeah.
On paper, what do you think, Sean? What do you think we said? This is General D.
Hey, General, first of all, good to talk to you, Cass. I'm glad you flashed up this show a little bit. This is the oldest roster in the NFL. Was last year. A lot of those same cats are there. They've gotten a year older. So I do think, as far as when you use rebuild, there needs to be an influx of talent. I just said that. Are you push the button? Let's completely blow everything up. Let's change the philosophy of how they've manipulated the cap for years and go through what the Sixers did a few years ago and did the process and, hey, we're going to suck for a couple years. Are we at that point yet? Because that's when you're on a full-on rebuild. I don't think the Saints are there yet. I would say the operable word is they're in transition. Look, I wanted to write off Tampa Bay last year. Obviously, Baker Mayfield came in. It worked. But the thing about Baker Mayfield is he's been consistently inconsistent in his career. Yes, I give him full credit for what he did last season. Can he do it a second year in a row? I like what Atlanta did, too. Atlanta's got a lot of nice pieces. They got a lot of young, nice players. We talk about their. I think they're, if you were talking about stock in this division, I would probably buy Atlanta stock. I would probably hold on Tampa Bay, and I might sell some Saints stock right now. And that doesn't mean that I still don't think the Saints can win the division, because I think they can. But the thing about Atlanta is this: are we getting all worked up and giving this division to Atlanta because they got Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins has done a great job of rehabilitating his career, mostly because of that quarterback show, and he went from nobody really liked Kirk Cousins to all of a sudden likable Kirk Cousins. But he hasn't exactly lit the world on fire either. I don't think he's a game-changing type of quarterback. He's an upgrade in Atlanta, and I think that might be all they need to win the division. But at the end of the day, cliches exist for a reason, Atlanta is Atlanta, and Atlanta is Latin for failure. I got to see it to believe it with Atlanta as well.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I have to go with that. The fact is, I'm not sold on their head coach. Never thought he was a head coach material. He was better suited as a coordinator. But to back
some people, for failure. I got to see it to believe it with Atlanta as well.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I have to go with that. The fact is, I'm not sold on their head coach. Never thought he was a head coach material. He was better suited as a coordinator. But to back
some people are.
Numbers up, but their defense faltered. Other positions faltered. He had that problem where he's been, and I'm not taking up for him by saying, well, he's the greatest thing to sliced bread, but he's a big plus for Atlanta, and he puts a thorn in the side of the Saints in Tampa Bay in the Carolina Panthers because you got to play against them not once,
but
twice.
He had Thielen and Jefferson. So, I mean, two guys that were, especially when Thielen legitimate. Was a couple ago. I mean, he could have been a one in some spots.
And he played and well.
He did. I'm not saying he didn't, but to Sean's point is that he's just kind of middling quarterback, even with that talent around him. And I think he's going to do the same thing with the talent that he's got over in Atlanta.
Right here.
With injury problems.
Right here, Sean.
John just hates
it. Here we go. Right here. A year ago, if it was Baker Mayfield, Carr, or Cousins, who would you have taken for the New Orleans Saints?
Oh, I'd have taken Cousins. I'd have taken Cousins as well.
I want to hear your comments.
Well, John, first of all, I want to respect the former NFL quarterback's opinion over my parents. That's why I've had you on my show plenty of times before. Yeah, I would probably take Cousins. There's no doubt. But I probably would have went Cousins, Carr, Mayfield. I think y'all probably would have too.
Yeah. I would.
No, I was Mayfield before Carr.
I didn't get a chance to answer.
Please. Well, we don't want you to
Chef
answer.
Scotty.
Because you're so negative. Why the heck do we want you to
I'm
answer?
I'm not negative.
No, he's positive on the Saints. That's the thing. He loves Carr.
I probably
Sometimes
would have
negative
taken
as a Saints fan is just be calling realist.
Thank you. Thank you.
Come on now. Here we go.
I got to bring this up because I haven't
Before
brought it up to
got
the guys.
Hurt,
we got 5 minutes left, and I want to get Sean's take on this, but I got to ask it in Sean's way. I don't know if you guys saw this. Yeah. I sent it to y'all. Malik Nabers, Jane Daniels, Brian Thomas, they're all doing an IG Live, IG for Instagram, John. And I didn't know if you knew that. Thank you for telling me I'm number one.
Hey, I didn't know either. So don't pick on.
Thanks, Sean.
Anyway,
they're talking. Found a thing you're talking about.
They're just chit chatting. All three guys are chit chatting.
I don't know, Malik. Why are they talking about you? You're too high maintenance, bro.
It's cap.
They be capping, huh, bro?
You know they got to pick somebody in this gym. I guess they just picked me.
Brian Thomas to the Saints?
Hey, you go and check this out. Bro,
cap. They be capping, huh, bro?
You know they got to pick somebody in this gym. I guess they just picked me.
Brian Thomas to the Saints? Hey, you go
and check this out. And all three then start to laugh. How do you take it?
It's good.
Gus, that's literally hitting below the belt.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know how else to take that other than why are they laughing
okay,
the second
so,
that name comes
up? It's probably an inside joke that has been shared among friends. But the thing, right. Gus, I think you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. What's kind of the MO? What's the reputation between the Saints and LSU?
They do not take Saints players.
Saints don't take LSU players. If this was three Ohio State players having the same conversation, I think the reaction would be much different because it'd be expected that they would pick players from Ohio State. And I think that's what it was. I think everybody knows it's been the running joke, especially for people in this state. The Saints just don't pick LSU players.
Okay, so it's
part.
The running joke thing they're laughing at. You don't think they're laughing at the Saints.
Well, let me verify that. It has to be since Sean Payton got here, because I could believe Eric Martin played with me, and he was from LSU.
But remember how old these guys are.
Hokey guys. I mean, but I understand. The stars of the last 10, 12 years, 15 years from LSU, nobody picked them.
But you got to remember how old these guys are. These guys are very young. So what they know of the Saints organization, they know it from Sean Payton and the ongoing joke of that. They just don't pick LSU guys. So Sean, I think it's legit.
Sean, to my point being, how do you think the Saints are viewed 3 years post-Sean Payton?
Just the only word I could describe, and I think everybody would agree with this right now, is we're just boring. I've never been more bored watching Saints football than I have the last two or three years. And I guess we've had this conversation. there were tight. I've watched at 42 years old, going back to when a guy sitting next to you was playing, I'd watch an entire Saints game start to finish, no matter how bad it's been. I've turned off more Saints games the last 2 or 3 years just because if losing is one thing. They've just been so damn boring. And so, to me, we're just kind of boring. I'll use another word, mid. We're just kind of, we're bland. We're vanilla ice cream. You go to Baskin-Robbins, there's 31 flavors. We're vanilla.
Chef Scotty, your rebuttal.
I agree with the offense. The offense has been stagnant.
Is it just the offense, though? Or is it just the organization? I'm asking how do you think the organization is viewed?
I mean, you lost Drew Brees, guys. You lost one of the most exciting quarterbacks in NFL history. So you've been trying to replace him. The first year you tried to do it with, who was it, James Winston and Taysom Hill and whatever. And then you bring in Derek Carr, and he was hurt all year. And I truly
believe.
That's
the excuse now? He hurt all year?
Shut up. I truly believe.
I truly believe that if they get
an offensive line that can keep the man, that keep the man upright and keep him healthy, I think the Saints can be competitive. But unless they do that, no.
Let's be honest here. A team is a reflection of its coach.
Correct.
Right. So has Dennis Allen given any reason for you to say this team is like exciting because of DA?
I think
his post games, you could push a button and know exactly what he's going to say every game.
It sounds like Sean Payton.
It sounds
kind of like Sean Payton.
His cadence might be like that, and he may try to mimic some of Sean Payton, but he does not instill any confidence in the organization.
More about the players that have been given to him, and your offensive coordinator the last 2 years was a guy that didn't want to be here. I really, really believe that this new offensive staff is going to change
Scott
this
walked
team.
In here with some Chinese, Vietnamese coffee.
There's something in it.
I am trying to be a positive individual.
Pete Carmichael is the downfall of the New Orleans Saints.
Yes, he was a terrible offensive coordinator.
He didn't want the job.
Thank you.
They talked him into
taking
it.
We got a guy now that wants the job that the Saints targeted and got. I don't want to hear your crap. The Saints targeted
because they had nobody else to go get
Sean, this is going off the rails quick.
Sean, make your way down here on the Thursday, please.
Yeah, please, Sean.
I'm just saying, I'm only upset that I'm not there because clearly happy hour has started.
Sean Fox, 97.7 Sports
Later,
Talk
boys.
Up here in Conroe, Louisiana.
All right,
Sean. Thanks,
Sean.
As always, appreciate it. We'll be back. Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Does Major League Baseball just be like, okay, the Feds are doing it, it's him. And we're going to...
Yes, that's what they're going to do. Okay. They're going to do that. Right. I'll be very surprised, unless there's some kind of tie that, you know, I mean, there's just too many ways. He's got buffers in there. He doesn't know the language. There's just so many things they can point to. And this guy's going to take the fall for it. There's no question this guy's going to take the full fall, and he's going to get paid off in the back end to take the fall. So that's the way I see it. And until it's unproven different, there's too many things that add up to Ohtani knows. He has to know.
He had to know.
But I don't think it moves the needle one way or the other. Gambling is legal, as long as he didn't bet on baseball, so to speak, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what the bets, they talk about that yet. Where did the interpreter's bets come from? Were there any bets that were on his games?
Like I said,
that's the part that I'd like to know. That's one thing I'd
Before
like to know.
Before we get to Uncle
baseball.
Earl, this just in, Aaron Rodgers, in a recent podcast that suggested President Biden is not really Joe Biden, that he has a body double.
Oh, my goodness.
Aaron Rodgers is having a very interesting offseason. Is he VP?
Is he
officially a VP? I know that was a rumor like a week or two ago.
He's out doing mushrooms and psychedelics and all kind of stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, look, just play football. Get back healthy, play football. You're entertainment, and he's a hell of a football player. But all these little crazy conspiracy things are just, it's a little too much.
Uncle Earl, thank you for giving us a call, sir. How are you?
Unc.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing today?
Good, baby. Well,
we're nervous, man. Uncle Earl, we're nervous about tonight's game with the Pels.
Yeah, well.
Man, hey, look. I'm coming from Slidell. Woo, boy. It's nasty out there, guys.
It's
messed up. Everybody out there dealing with all that.
Yeah.
If Zion, man, I seen him the other night. Looked like that sucker was jumping out the gym, blocking shots. He looked like Stormile Swift when he was playing at LSU. If we could get that guy to play like that and we hit our outside shots, man, I feel pretty good. But, hey, I wanted to talk to y'all real quick. I'm getting excited about the draft, man. Are we getting – is it 99.9% it's going to be an offensive tackle? And I hope so, and I want all y'all guys to chip in. Is it going to be that guy from the Penn State guy? Or do we have two really good picks we can take an offensive tackle at 14?
There will be an offensive tackle sitting there. Joe Alt will not be there. That's the kid from Notre Dame. It looks like everything being said is he's going to Tennessee. He's a plug and play. He'll probably be a all pro type guy. He's that above the board. The next guy that they have out there is probably the kid from Oregon State, is Fuagu, and he's a tackle or guard, depending upon where they want to play him at. He's a possibility. More than likely, he will be gone too, because there's some teams that are also needy for offensive linemen. I think we're looking at the guy for Futanu out of Washington, and they have him as a guy that has a lot of flexibility. He's a guy that they say is a true athlete, offensive line with starting caliber traits. He's a center or guard, so he's a guy that's a little bit more flexible in the line. I think we need more of that tackle position, so that kid has a lot of versatility, so as a plug-and-play across the board. Mm-hmm. But I do think we're still sitting there looking at the kid out of Penn State, Fashanu, and I think he's the one he's one of the youngest prospects in the draft class from the tackles.
But he's got small hands.
That's
what
a possibility.
Does that mean?
The question is do we want to take the kid out of Alabama, which is Latham? Latham is the big tackle. Huge guy, but he's just going to be 21 years old, so he's another younger guy in the draft. He's a massive man. He can't play guard because he's so big, but right. He is a left tackle and did it in the SEC. So there will be a lot of guys, Uncle Earl, who I think we can target and go after. But whatever we do, we got to get it right. I mean, we all agree with that.
Right,
we got to get it right.
This is the thing. We need somebody to come in and play right now. This ain't going to be no project or something. We need somebody to come in right now.
Correct.
The thing is, the kid from Alabama, he's been in the big games. He's been in the SEC. I would not mind him, but can he come in right now and start from day one?
They say his size and speed, he needs a little bit of a refinement. So what they're saying, for the next level, I think some of that speed rush, he's a big man. He's a really big guy. And I think you're probably looking at the kid out of Washington or Penn State is going to be probably who they take there. Because of the kid with the versatility at Washington, which they, look at what Washington did this year, and Penn State, the kid at Penn State hasn't given up a sack. I think all speaks for itself. Does that translate to NFL? As we've talked about before, it's a crapshoot, it seems like, at these linemen. Other than the only one that looks like that's the far above and beyond is Joel, which will not be there when the Saints pick. But I do think there's a lot of good depth in this draft, so I don't think you're going to go wrong, but it's just going to be, did you get it right, is going to be the question.
Hey, General D, do y'all
nice
like,
to get them
like,
both.
If we get him, the guy y'all talking about, I like that kid Burton from Alabama, the wide receiver. Y'all think that, do we have a second-round pick or no?
We do have a second-round pick, but I do not see us taking that kid out for a wide receiver right there. We need another lineman. We talked about this. I don't know if you were listening before. Me personally, I think that if you go get a guy that's like a top tackle like that, and then say Brian Thomas slips out the first round, you go up and get him or something.
That's
it's not happening.
Happen,
but I mean, a guy like that, a guy that's a big target, the kid out of Florida State didn't run well at the draft.
Coleman.
So he's a guy that they're talking is going to be in the second round. He could possibly be there. I could see the Saints taking a big body receiver to kind of replace Michael Thomas, but I still think the right pick is going to be tackle, or tackle guard kind of
tackle,
situation.
Tackle.
Well, yeah,
guard.
I mean, there's no question we need all those, but I do think if we talked about before, if a guy falls and he's sitting there and you just can't pass him up, they do have some movement to where I think they may trade a player, and I think that guy may be Lattimore.
But can they bundle the fifth round picks to try to move up to a third or fourth round
pick? I don't think the fifth round picks will get you all the way to third. You might be able to get into the fourth round with that. And they say this is a deep draft for wide receivers, and there's a deep draft for linemen.
Right.
So where you're going to see, you may see some guys fall down there, and depending upon what their grade is on the board will determine if they're going to take them or not.
The Saints in the past have done so well with late round linemen.
Yeah.
I mean,
they have.
But that was when Peyton
But I think
was
to,
here.
To his point, we need a guy that's going to step in and going to be able to start from day one, and that's going to happen with these top five guys.
All right, final segment of the Sports Hangover. Go ahead, Uncle Earl.
I'm looking forward to hanging out with y'all at the draft. God bless. I love y'all guys.
Yeah, man, looking forward to it as well, bud. We'll be right. Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. All right, so this is how it goes. Trying to find out what the dates are. I know the play-in tournaments are the 16th through the 19th, General D. You were asking when exactly we're going to find out all those different aspects of it. So it is Tuesday and Friday of next week, right? So the regular season comes to a conclusion on Sunday. And then Monday, you got that off day, travel day, whatever it is. Tuesday, you have, I want to say it's the 7-8s or is it 9-10s? Regardless, whoever plays Tuesday will then play Thursday. Whoever plays Wednesday will play Friday to get that conclusion going. The first round of the playoffs starts Saturday and Sunday for those teams that aren't. Right? Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
just trying to see what's going to conflict with the actual NFL draft.
That's the week before.
No, I'm saying. So the following week would be
the following week's the NFL draft.
And if you're in the actual playoffs.
So let's say if the Bills get six, that's a 3-6 matchup. That could be
that could be tonight of the draft.
Saturday,
then, but it would go back and forth depending upon how it fall for the
Saturday.
Draft.
Depends. I mean, I saw last year you had one that was Saturday and play game two till Monday or something of that nature.
Last year it was a conflict because I usually do a draft party by my house.
That's what I thought. No,
it was conflict last year.
Todd confirmed that. The 7-8 games are Tuesday, 9-10 games are Wednesday. That's what I thought. The higher seeds go first. So if the Pels are 7th, they would play on a Tuesday.
Okay.
So it's the 7-8 games for the East, 7-8 games for the West. Wednesday would be the two 9-10s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday, Friday would be the other games.
Yeah.
This is such a big game tonight, man.
It is a big game because, I mean, you talked about Golden State's playing out of their mind right now.
I wish they had.
And that's going to be a tough game. I mean,
four straight.
And you got the Lakers who we don't match up well against. So
April 20th is the playoffs when that begins. That's that Saturday. May 6th through the 7th is the conference semifinals. Possibly move up to May 4th or 5th, the NBA says. May 21st, 22nd is the conference finals. And then the NBA finals begin June 6th with a possible game one. All the way through June 23rd for possible game 7.
Wow.
We are in April. April 11th.
It's a long way to go. Man, you could really do a vacation with that.
I'll put it to you this way. If the Pels were ever to make that run, I mean, you're literally following Pelican basketball all the way into minicamp.
Yes.
Saints minicamp.
Wow. That's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, it really should be like that.
The Pels playing all the way into Saints minicamp.
That would be great.
That would be cool, man.
So anyway, there you go.
So, Gus, who are you taking at 14?
It's got to be a tackle.
It's got to be a tackle.
I mean, to your point, it's what we were talking about last week when I was talking with John. I know you have your board, and I know you have your, you know, your rankings and who's rated what. It would have to be a 20-point difference. Like, to me, it's that big. It would have to be not 5, not 2.
I got it. You have
this guy's
a 93, that just drops to 14.
And my tackle's a 91. That's not enough. It would literally need to be this guy's a 100 on my board, and the next available tackle's an 80.
Is Brock Bowers a guy that if he dropped, which I don't think is happening, but if he did.
He may drop to 14 if all these teams take quarterbacks.
Take quarterbacks. If five or six quarterbacks go?
My only problem.
It's possible.
It's not even my only problem with that because obviously we've seen San Francisco in that style of offense use the tight end, right?
Right, right.
And those things. I'm thinking of Kelce. In today's game. Yes, the tight end can affect it. There's no doubt. And I mean, you can make the argument that Kelce probably helped them win that Baltimore game in that first half.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But my goodness, if you can't block
Andrews, Kelce. I mean, think about all these teams that have a good tight end.
I hear you, but I guess it's just me. It's just I know two linemen that are coming back next year.
Ruiz and McCoy. And let's be honest, Ruiz, as Matt Moscona says on his show all the time,
what are they going to do about
the lowest rated guard at his position?
Yeah, lowest rated. Okay. Can we give an extension?
So,
what about Pete?
He's not signed.
He's not signed, and I think that may be a guy anywhere. You have to bring back, but I think they're trying to get him at a bargain price, and I think they're waiting to see what happens in the draft.
Yeah.
If they get what they need in the draft and he doesn't have a chair, then you may go with the younger guy in his replacement because you're not going to assign him back as a backup. But he was a guy that actually I think has played better at left tackle than he did at left guard.
No, I don't say you can't sign him because who else
he's more of a finesse player.
Quite honestly, if I had to like play this weekend, right?
I would feel okay with him.
I would probably do, yeah.
Over Penning, for sure.
I would put Penning at guard or at right tackle, try to teach him the net. I'd put Pete back at left tackle, and let's go.
I'd probably go with.
But who else are you going to sign?
Well, what about the veteran that we've re-signed?
He's literally it's a body.
The guy from Minnesota?
Yeah.
Can't think of his name.
So
it's a
based upon watching them at practice with Penning, I still think Penning is really suited more for guard because his foot speed is not quick enough.
I'm going to go with Ross Jackson on this. I trust Ross a lot. There's hope in this aspect of it. This offense, right,
is a little different.
It's a more run-based, to the line, moving your and then pass blocking. So maybe that helps Trevor Penning.
Okay. I'll try to be positive.
No, I'm with you. Like I said, I got to see it.
I got to see it.
This isn't we're going to drop back 35 times.
Well, was his nemesis last year because he'd 100%. Watch him at practice when he would set, and all of a sudden a guy would get speed rush. He'd get too high on the side.
Thank you as always for having us, sir. Pizza specials on Thursday at Katie's.
You got little hands.
What? That
has not play offensive.
He's not playing offensive line.
If you would like some pizza, go get that.
He's pushing buttons over here.
Tonight at Katie's tonight. 13.
Keep shaking it, people. Go Pels.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Visit us at Boomtown New Orleans Casino this spring for all the hoops and hockey playoff action. We've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus we're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Boomtown New Orleans Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21, gamble. Problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
It's Greg LeBlanc Toyota's spring cleaning sale going on now with over 200 new Toyotas to choose from. Check it out. Like the all-new redesigned 2024 Toyota Tacoma and the Grand Highlander. And also, you get 0% financing currently available with the 2024 Toyota Tundra. And remember, every new Toyota comes with 2 years free maintenance. Visit GregLeBlancToyota.com or stop by 220 South Hollywood Road to save big, big on your next vehicle. Greg LeBlanc Toyota.
The other day, someone said they saw a roach the size of a nutria down around Cutoff. I don't know about that, but nasty pests like roaches, termites, ants, and spiders are running wild up and down the bayou. If you got bug problems, call the local experts at Terminex, and those bayou boys will be there in a jiffy to protect your home or business. So whether you live up the bayou or down the bayou, Terminex is here to get rid of bugs any size.
So call those bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit NHTSA.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.